Hello and welcome to Kroppen og Ordet, a podcast that is gonna discuss and review dance in different perspectives and in different ways. And today we are in the studio with Naila Naufal and me, Sara Fischer-Lukov, and we are gonna discuss a show that we saw yesterday at Dansens Hus. What was it that we saw, Naila?
Hello, everyone. Hello, Sara. So yesterday we saw at Dansens Hus a piece called Via Canana. And this piece is a collaboration between the dance company Via Cattelhong and the choreographer Gregory Makuma. Via Cattelhong is actually both a dance company and a community organization based in the township of Cattelhong in Johannesburg.
In South Africa? Yeah.
In South Africa, yes. It was created in 1992 with the goal of moving away youth from criminality and celebrating local culture. Since in South Africa there are 9 different cultures and 11 different languages.
Wow, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. So Via Cattelhong give dance courses to children and teenagers, and they have created a dance company which travels in the whole world. And they mix diverse forms of dance and culture, among other, pantsula. And pantsula is actually a lifestyle that mixes fashion, music, dance, and the dance vocabulary mixes hip-hop and tap dance.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of rhythm, you can see.
Yeah. And Via Cattelhong also works with other traditional dances anchored in the local culture in South Africa, like Xhosa, Zulu, Soto. And for this creation, they have worked with Gregory Makuma, who is a contemporary choreographer who has worked with...
Yeah. He's educated at Parts in Brussels, Belgium, which is a very good school for contemporary
dance. Yeah, very important school. Mm. And actually, this is where he met Sidi Labisharkawi, who's an important contemporary choreographer. And Gregory Makuma has worked with people like Akram Khan.
Yeah. And that's a really interesting part, how he mixes his background in the way he choreographs.
Mm. Yeah, because Via Canana is really like a mixture of pantsula, this culture and lifestyle that was born in the streets in South Africa, with contemporary dance. Yes, to say a little bit, to give some elements about pantsula. Pantsula emerged in South Africa in the 1950s and 1960s. Mm. It's a form of culture and dance that emerged in the street as a form of political resistance against apartheid.
Mm.
At that moment, the apartheid government displaced by force black people from rural regions where they were working the land. They displaced them by force into big cities and segregated them in what we call the townships.
Yeah. So it's a very political way of using dance.
Yes. Yeah. Dance is really a protest here.
And that is what you could see in this performance. That was the greatest thing, that you could see that everything they did was for a reason. It was a way of expressing their, or insisting of their existence, and how they just used dance as a way of protesting against the government. And you could see it in the way, in the movement qualities, and the dancers. They had such really strong, we call it tilstedeværelse
at norsk. Presence on stage.
Thank you, presence on stage. And that was, I think, what really touched me the most. I was crying at some point because I don't know why. It was just so real, and I didn't read so much about it before, and I was really stressed before I saw the show. And then you know, this is the nicest thing about dance, when you could just like be filled up with something.
Yeah. You get lost in this show.
Yes.
It's a show that makes you want to dance.
Yes.
And yes, it's political, but it's actually, maybe the word political could be a bit repelling for some, but it's actually a show that has lots of energy, lots of joy.
Lots of joy.
Yeah.
You have joy for music.
Yes, exactly.
And the dancers, they said that afterwards, they were, because they had a lot of moments where they were just shouting while dancing, just shouting words or just making sounds. And
or singing a cappella.
Yeah, singing a cappella. And was like, this is such a good choreography. Like, the composition is just so fluent. But then they were just saying afterwards that they were improvising the whole thing with the singing. And
With the voice.
Yes. Yeah.
And as if they were in the streets or cheering for one of the dancers who's dancing.
Mm.
But to give an idea, a bit a more descriptive idea about the show, so you had this very white stage, like boldly white stage, and those seven dancers, two women and five men, all wearing pants and shirts that were really colorful, like you had so many colors on stage, and who were... none of them left the stage. They were dancing all the time.
Yes.
And this, what did you think, Sarah, of the choreographic language?
Yeah, that was also a really interesting part, because I didn't really expect like the contemporary take on it, because I thought it was going to be more traditional. And what I saw was just a mix of a lot of contemporary composition stuff and so much technical footwork that it was really rhythmical, and you can see more in the African field. But yeah, I really loved this, how it just merged into each other.
Obviously, we hadn't seen so much pantsula.
No.
But so pantsula is a Zulu word that means to waddle like a duck. And so, like we said before, it began in the townships, those ghettos where black people are segregated. More precisely, it emerged in Alexandra and Sophia towns, two townships in Johannesburg where there is lots of unemployment and crime. And so pantsula is really like a bit low to the ground, very quick. And you have a very elaborate, virtuous work of the feet and legs. So you really have like a mix of tap dance and hip hop, which marries really well with the contemporary language, the release contemporary language that you have on the ground.
Yeah. Like, and release technique is a dance kind of genre or technique that is very much about being fluid and not using so much muscle tension, so that you could move organically, for example, on the floor, and you could see that influence on the dance or the choreography.
And so the dancers were tapping, tapping on their knees, tapping on their legs, tapping on the floor.
Yes, very intricate kind of rhythms.
And very complicated language.
Yes.
Fascinating works of arms, isolations of the shoulders, kicks of the legs.
Yeah. So, yeah. What's your experience with that, Naila, with the show?
I really enjoyed it. I had a really good moment. And what's interesting, it's also a show that has a narrative thread, but a narrative thread that's a bit subtle.
Yes.
You don't get overwhelmed with it. You feel that they're telling stories through the movement.
But not like very concrete. It's just filling in like the colors.
Exactly. Yeah. So the show is about corruption.
Yes.
And there was this video work. Maybe you could tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, it was the show started with this video showing just black and white background with the word corruption just coming off and on the screen. And it was this dancer just standing in the middle, in the back, and getting kind of overwhelmed by something, or that was how I read it. And it was looking like it was kind of, the body was on the way of just collapsing. But then all the other dancers came into the stage, and they starting a really powerful synchronized movement section. Yeah.
Yeah, you had lots of work on being together, on good. Togetherness.
Yeah.
And individualities yeah. within togetherness. Mm,
that was really cool how they worked with the group versus the individual. Mm. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of a theme throughout the whole show. That's how they worked with being different people in a society that kind of sometimes can be so different that the conflict can come to up to the surface. But in the end, they were all fighting for the same goals.
Yeah, I also saw it as a fight for social and environmental justice.
Of course.
When people were displaced, black people were displaced out of rural zones, it's because they were giving the lands to white farmers. So,
and this is going into a big theme it's just a big theme now in culture or in pop culture, and also something we need to discuss with this show, because there's so much stealing from black culture and just making it white, and Beyoncé has actually been stealing a lot from the Panzula dance and not giving any credits, so. Yeah, and this is also a really weird thing, because Beyoncé is a black woman, and she's also using that as a theme in her music, that she's a black woman, but then at the same time she's doing this really stupid thing that is stealing from big choreographers that have been working their whole life on something very specific, and then she has just made it her own, and then this becomes a question of class, because she has a lot of money. Or what do you think, Nyla? She's rich.
Yeah.
She has the power.
Yeah, well, yes, Beyoncé has often taken famous choreographies and put them into her video without crediting the people who created them. And I think she did that with Panzula as well.
Yes.
And actually, one of the dancers was telling us yesterday that...
I'm a grown woman, I think the specific song is named,
okay.
Where she
so it's a video clip. So one of the dancers was telling us actually that he thought that the Panzula, that the leg work wasn't good anyway in the video. So that was funny. But of course, there is this whole theme of cultural appropriation.
Yes, it's a big theme.
Yeah, so cultural appropriation is basically, in a nutshell, when... someone who has more power than the dancers steals from them. There's this question of power. And in the case of Beyoncé, of course, some could say that she's black, but she's also a big singer with lots of money and power. So it's also an interesting way to look at the matters of decolonization and justice and injustice, that it should be intersectional. It's not just about race, but it's also interweaved with financial power, class, etc. So Beyoncé, as a person who has so much financial power, should give back to the communities, not take from them, like Meta.
Yeah, and... it's also...
What was your favorite sequence, can I ask you?
Yeah, from the show. Well, I really liked when we just talked about female being... the female question, like, the question of gender. I really liked the way the female dancers were dancing and how they were not sexualized. And this was also something that people from the audience noticed and... ask them about after the show, because you see this a lot in pop culture, that this sexualization and how this in this dance they were so equal.
Yeah, the movement, the choreographic language was not gendered.
So, and so powerful, but not in a male way. I don't know. It was not like she was.
Not
taking
in a toxic
away her
masculinity.
It wasn't that she tried to take away her femininity. It was just I didn't really think about it. And she was really good too. Like the female, one of the female dancers was, she was maybe my favorite dancer, and she was having this part, a lot of parts where she was dancing solo.
Yeah. Mm. She still said, and I think it's interesting to note this, that there is sexism in South Africa. There is oppression of women. Mm. But what's interesting is that this company, Via Catalong, Via K, in their work, they don't emphasize this. They see women dancers and men dancers as equal, and not they don't gender the movement. Of course, in the stories, you could see that there were like stories of women and men and love and etc.
Yeah, and family.
But, but the choreographic language is still the same.
Yes.
This very intricate, the very elaborate movements in the legs, in the hands. The arms were so articulate. Did you see that? The work of the arm was fascinating.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was more into the footwork.
In the feet. Yeah.
Because they were making so much sound.
And my favorite sequence was the sequence where they were... The dancers were holding newspapers in front of their upper body, so we couldn't see their face.
Yeah, they used the elements so well. It was so... Yeah.
So they were all holding newspaper, and you could see their legs moving really fast and tapping. And also, it's a very powerful sequence, and that says a lot about corruption, but in a very subtle way, because you had, like, the titles... on the newspapers that could give you an idea.
Yes. Is there anything more that we need to
discuss? Well, to wrap it up, we could say that I think it's also important to see it as a political protest.
Yeah,
that's really
it's
anchored
about life and death.
Within the Pantsula lifestyle and culture, and within reclaiming political justice, social justice, and environmental justice in a society that has lived a lot of oppression, of colonial oppression.
Yeah, that's kind of the main part, actually, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And after the show, all of the dancers, they were presenting themselves as dancers and... that they have been dancers their whole life. They had such a passionate relationship to what they did.
Yeah. When
in a such
we
a
asked
natural
them,
way.
Yeah. How did you come to be a dancer? And they were saying,
I have just always been a dancer.
Yeah, because it's a form of dance that emerged in the streets. And actually, it was also very interesting to compare it to how contemporary dance is seen, because the dancers of Pantsula are not recognized like someone who studied contemporary dance for 3 years in South Africa.
But they said that they felt professional when going on tour because
Their country.
Yeah, outside the country. That's so sad. In South Africa, they have not gotten any funds, and the government does not give them anything. They can barely practice their dances.
So to stay alive, to stay viable. As a company, they need to travel, and there has been lots of interest for Pantsula and for the work of Via Catalong outside this piece, because they had other pieces with which they traveled.
Yeah.
And they went to many places in Europe. They had lots of very good reviews. And it's also important to say that it's a show that's full of joy.
Yes.
It's a very hopeful show.
Full of joy, full of life and just... Vitality.
You just spend an hour being happy and wanting to dance with them, basically.
Oh, that was beautiful.
But yes, in South Africa, the dancers with whom we talked were insisting on the fact that there is a lot of corruption.
Yes.
So it depends who you know. If to get the grant, you have to know people. Yeah. You have to be connected. And someone who is a Pantsula dancer, but not educated formally in contemporary dance, will be less paid.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a real practical problem.
Dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And, but they were saying also that their dream is to create a Pantsula school.
Yeah.
That they don't want to leave it in the street, that they and it's an interesting take on something that emerged on the street, that they want to transmit it through school
for, I guess, there's
children
also
and youth.
Also people disagreeing on that, maybe, because then it gets something else. When it gets into an institution, it's easy that it's becoming something else. But that's a whole other discussion.
Yes, but actually Via Catalong is an institution. It's a community
organization. Yeah, that's
they
true.
They have classes,
absolutely.
They have courses. And if you look at the history of contemporary dance in South Africa, many, because they have a lot of interesting choreographers, like Dada Masilo, for instance, they all started by dancing in community organizations because they all come from poor backgrounds. So I think do you have something to add?
No, just that this. I was so glad that I watched that show and that it was the opening actually of Dansens Hus 2019.
Yeah, that was a brilliant opening.
A brilliant, brilliant opening. And you are listening to Kroppen og Ordet. We have been seeing Via Kanana by Via Katlehong, and I am Sara Fischer-Lukov,
and I am Neila Naufal,
and together we in the studio, or as a technician, we had Hadi Fawaz. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.